Welcome to the Washington Church Toledo podcast. Together, we are learning to encourage one another to walk with God through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. This podcast consists of recordings from our Sunday morning worship services and other teaching events that you are more than welcome to come join us live at.
All right, if you have your Bibles, open up with me to 1 John. We're in 1 John. We're getting into chapter 4 now, which is exciting. We're kind of on the home stretch for John. And it's just been an absolute, just super fun time for me, and I hope you've enjoyed the study of 1 John. There's so much richness in here that John is teaching. And just for those who haven't been with us for this study, I'm glad you're here this morning. Let me give you a little bit of a context. John is writing to the church, to several churches, and he's trying to get them to understand not only who they are, but really what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And also, how do you know, like, what does a true follower of Jesus look like, and what should a true follower of Jesus be doing, but also, how do you know? And so this message this morning is really about discernment. It's about how do you discern the movement of God, and so I think it's extremely practical for each and every one of us. And at the end of the message, I'm going to share with you, I think, five principles on how you discern the will of God that I've worked on for probably the last 15 years and boiled down to, so I'll write them down when we get there. Just FYI. All right, we're going to be 1 John 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I always love how, I can't remember when it was, sometime in the summer, I went on retreat and I just sat before the Lord and I felt like God was leading me to 1 John. So I began to just write down notes, and the original plan was to do it for the fall. And as I wrote more and more notes, the outline got larger and larger, and I was like, well, why not? What's stopping us from, why do we have to stay in the fall? And so all of a sudden, it was like a 20-something week series on 1 John, and I got really excited. But here's why I tell you that. Way back in the fall, this passage was put on this date. I had no idea we'd be doing Family Sundays at the time. We decided to do that sometime in between those things. And so it always makes me laugh when God gives me these incredibly challenging passages to do on Family Sundays when we have a shorter message and basically we're doing an extended kids message. And how do you talk to kids about multiple spirits and knowing what's of God? Right? So one of the things that John says in there is he uses the word test, and that word test means to examine, to scrutinize, to prove something is true. And really he's saying, how do you know something's of God? Okay, that's John's main point. He wants us to know. So this is where we're going to start. Okay, of my volunteers, who wants to go first? Oh, no, not the holding paper volunteers, the volunteers with the parents. Who wants to go first? You're up, Millie? Okay, come here, Millie. You're going to stand up here on stage. Take your mom up on stage. Okay? So Oliver, scooch to the side a little bit. You guys get to stand right up on the top. And I just have one simple question for you, Millie. Okay? You're going to have to answer it for me. Come over here. How do you know that this is your mom?
I just know.
Okay. How else do you know?
Just kind of every way.
In every way. Can you give some examples? Like, what is it? What is it that you know about your mom that you know that this is your mom? What if I brought somebody else up? Would she be your mom? How would you know?
I just will know.
What do you think? What are some ways you know it's your mom? By maybe how she acts? How she talks?
Yeah.
Do you recognize her voice if she would speak?
Yeah.
Okay. How she looks?
Yeah.
That she lives with you?
Yeah.
Okay, those are good. Perfect. Okay, you guys ready? It's your turn. You guys get to come up here. Okay. Right over here. I'm going to ask you the same question. What is it? We'll change it a little bit. What's a characteristic about your mom that you know that makes her your mom?
She loves me.
Oh, that's a good one. How about, can you think of other ones?
She cares for me.
Yes, that's so good. Thank you. Okay, you guys are up. All right, final one. Come on over here. Okay, same question. How do you know that that's your dad?
Because he loves me.
Okay, what else?
He does a lot of stuff for me.
Okay, any other thoughts? How else do you know that it's your dad? Is it the glasses that give it away, maybe? No? No, he's got great characteristics, doesn't he? Thank you guys for doing that. So, I mean, it's an intriguing thing to think about. Like, how do we know? And oftentimes what we do is we give our life to Jesus and we kind of go through, we study, we read, we listen to things. But I'll tell you this, in this culture we're in now, it's very different than, gosh, even when I went to seminary years and years ago, when Ann and I were there together, the world was a very different place. And the ability and the content that Christians were taking in was like radically minimalized, okay? Today, you can listen to podcasts, watch videos, you can take in so much content, read all kinds of books. And some of it is really good and some of it's not so good. And some of it is like this hybrid mixture in which some is good and some is not. And so discernment is such an absolutely critical part of walking with Jesus. And that's what John wanted his readers to know. John wanted his readers to know it's so important for you to be able to tell what the real thing is. How do you know what the genuine thing is? How do you know if something's of God or not? And again, we need to know that. Let me share some scripture with you. On to verse 2, it says, this is how you can recognize. So John actually gives us a template to use, one way of knowing if something's of God. He says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, why is that important, that knowing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is important? Why can't we just know who God is or who Jesus is, and that would be sufficient enough? John writes in his gospel earlier, in John 1:14, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then later, in the same gospel, he quotes Jesus saying in John 10, I and the Father are one. And so we see these crucial aspects of what it means to be who Jesus was, that Jesus actually came as God and became like us, and took on flesh, became a human being just like us. But in that same moment, and this is the mystery of God, that he and the Father are one, that they're united. Okay? Two separate persons within a Trinity, Father, Son, and the Spirit. And again, it's hard to wrap your mind around, but it's absolutely crucial to believe that Jesus came to be like us. He lived his life. He was crucified on the cross for us, for our sins, and then was resurrected on the third day. A couple other scripture passages that I want to point out that I think are really good. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in body, but made alive in the spirit. So the act of his death actually brought you access to the Father. And then Hebrews says this, he too, talking about Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And so literally in Jesus' death and resurrection, he destroys the power of death, giving us access to the Father, as Peter says, but also giving us access to be resurrected just as he was. And that's what the scriptures teach. In verse 3 of 1 John, it says, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Okay, so this is a pretty loaded passage. One, because all of a sudden, most of the time when we talk about spirit, what do we think? You guys know? We use the word spirit. What do we talk about or think about?
Like a a ghost that either serves God or does not serve God.
Okay. How many of you guys think when, and you as adults, how many of you guys think when we, usually when we throw the word of spirit around in church, we think the Holy Spirit? Okay. Yeah, that's what I would think. But clearly, John is telling us here there are multiple spirits that live in this world. Okay. Okay, so when you guys go home, ask your parents about that, and they'll tell you all about the multiple spirits that live in this world. I'm sure they'll have all the answers from all their studies of the scriptures that they do. But one of the things that's important for us to realize is the Holy Spirit is God and dwells within us when we give our life to Christ, but there are other spirits that live in this world. And that's probably something that's not talked about very often, but it's true. It's what the scriptures talk about. And I'll show you another passage that actually says almost the identical thing. That there are spirits that were created by God that decided to not follow God, and they actually wreak havoc in this world. And part of what they do is deceive people from what is true, the truth of who Jesus is. And you know, it happens all the time. It can be as simple as deceiving us about who Jesus is to speaking to us that we are not worthy, that we don't belong here, that God doesn't love us. That also is part of the function of deceiving humanity from the love of God and the person of God. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 11:4. He says, "For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." Okay, and so Paul wouldn't mention that there are different spirits unless there were different spirits, or he talks about different spirits, different gospel, and a different Jesus. Not that there's a different Jesus, but there are different ways that people have communicated who Jesus is that is contrary or not fully what the gospel has to say or what the word of God has to say. Does that make sense? So that's why it's so important for us to know the word of God and to know what is true of who Jesus is. And it's something that is half that or not fully what he is or teaches what it is very confusing to us. And that's why John says we need to know the difference of the source of where that comes from. Because I can tell you, we've all listened to things, read things, or watch things that are not fully true, that are faith-based. And I would say to you guys, as you grow up and as you journey on your own and as you continue to walk out the faith, it's what's going to be confusing and hard is when people seem to put labels on things as though it is Christian or dress up in a way as though they know what they're talking about but don't speak fully what is true. And that's where, again, discernment comes into play, and we need to have an understanding of what discernment is and be able to know what is of God, because that is exactly what John is saying, that we have to test those things. And we have other faith traditions and other religions, and those other religions talk about Jesus, and they actually will say that Jesus is a great person or a great teacher, but they fall short of saying that Jesus was God or that Jesus was fully a human being as well or that he died and rose from the dead. And I was just listening to somebody share their story about that, somebody they encountered that was doing harmful things. And part of what drove them to do harmful things is they directly disbelieve the resurrection of Jesus. And if they did, that would change the way they thought. And this is what I want to end with this that I think is really cool in verse 4. And I want all of us to hear this. It says, "You, dear children," or a better translation would be "beloved, you are from God and have overcome them," meaning these spirits of deception, "because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Did you know that if you've accepted Jesus in your life, that God lives in you and that you are an overcomer," is what the Bible says. That means you're overcome means to be victorious. It means to defeat things that need to be defeated. And because God has done that and he lives in you, then you are drafted into that as brothers and sisters in Christ, as sons and daughters in Christ. And so you're victorious. And so there's so many times when things are speaking to us that shouldn't be speaking to us or deceiving us, and we've actually already had victory over those things. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of the truth of who we are and our connection with God and remind those things of who they are, and you'll be surprised how fast those thoughts go away from you. I was telling just somebody this week that I had an experience of that. I was getting ready one morning to go to work, and all of a sudden, all these thoughts came into my mind that were discouraging, and tearing down. And I just stopped and I thought, wait a minute. I wouldn't say these things to myself. God doesn't speak this way to me. So this has to be something else. And so right away, when I came to that understanding, I just said, enough of this. You know, get out of here. And almost immediately, those thoughts left my mind. And I realized, wow, something was going on that I didn't even realize it. And sometimes, and in the past, you just kind of, those thoughts come and you just sit with them, you keep running with them, and you allow them to dominate you. And I can tell you this, the enemy has no power over you unless you give it away to the enemy. And it's important for us to understand that. It's the same as it was in the Garden of Eden. The enemy didn't have any power in the Garden of Eden except for what was given over to him by Adam and Eve. And that's what happened. Okay, so what I want to do is those who have those signs, this is what we're going to do. I want to end with sharing these truths of how do we discern? How are the practical ways that we know that something is of God? Okay, now on your signs, I wrote numbers on the back. So flip them over. We're going to start with who has number one? You've got number one. Tessa, are you up for reading it? Okay, you want to stand up? Okay, you can read it, and then I'll have you turn it over and show people what it says. All right, come on up here.
Lead me into a deeper, more personal relationship with Jesus.
So hold that for me. Yep, perfect. So here, this is a great question you can ask yourself as a mode of discernment. As you're listening to something, taking it in, whatever you're doing, watching a video, ask yourself this, does it lead you into a deeper, more personal, intimate relationship with Jesus? If you can say yes to that, then keep listening, keep watching, keep reading, because that's of God. The enemy would never want to lead you into a deeper, more personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Actually, he tries constantly to stop that and to separate you from that. Okay, so that's number one. Who's got number two? You've got it? Okay, all right. You feel good with reading it? Okay.
Align with the word of God as written in the scriptures. There's a question mark out there at the end.
All right, hold it up for us. You can hold it with both hands. There you go. Does it align with the word of God as written in the scriptures? Okay, so whatever you're doing, whatever you're reading, whatever you're taking in, always use God's word as a template to come back to and ask yourself, does what I've just heard, what I'm reading, does it align with the word of God? Now, there might be something, and this can happen to us, where we feel like I'm not sure, or my first instinct is no. I would say hold on to that, because sometimes we have to dig deeper into the scriptures to find some of those truths. So just because we don't know it doesn't mean that it's not true or not of God. Sometimes God is inviting us to deepen our understanding of his word and take us into the word. All right, who's got number three? You got it? All right.
Does this proclaim that Jesus Christ is God?
Perfect. Okay. This is exactly what John's point is. I love that you hold it that high. Can you keep it that high the whole time? All right, let's see. Is what you're reading or who you're studying or what you're processing, does it proclaim that Jesus is who the scriptures say he was? Again, if it comes up short or half-hearted, you have to be mindful of that and say, well, wait a minute. Let me check this. Let me wrestle with this. Let me be aware of that. Okay? Number four. Do you have number four? Do you want me to help you? Are you going to help? Okay. You guys can do it together. Perfect.
Does this bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit?
Perfect. Okay. Again, this is always, this is one of the questions that if people come to me and ask me, hey, do you think this thing is of God? Or do you think this is what the Lord wants me to be doing in my life? One of the great ways of discerning if something is of God is if it is producing the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. So you can go back and look at the whole list of the fruit of the Spirit, or we could probably come up with it, even this morning, all together. But if you begin to act on that thing or live out what you've heard and you begin to produce patience in your life, then you know it's of God. Okay, what are some of the other fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control, goodness, patience, gentleness. I think faithfulness, humility is a good one. Yeah, All those things. So again, those are all things that the Holy Spirit within you is actively trying to get you to produce. Again, it's called the fruit of the Spirit because just like fruit that comes off a tree, it's grown or produced. God wants to produce those things in you, and he does it through the power of his Spirit. And as we live our lives, if we're doing things of God, that's what is produced. That's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. And so that's how you know it can be from God. All right, number five, our final one. All right, Oliver, you feel good reading it? All right.
Do I feel the peace of God, which is the presence of God?
Exactly. Okay. This is probably the number one way I would encourage people to understand. The fruit of the Spirit is a good one. Obviously, you want to be sound with connecting with the Word of God. That's so vitally important. But sometimes you don't, in the moment, you don't, can't grab your scriptures and look at it or other things, or you don't have time for fruit to be produced. But when you come to a place where you've experienced the peace of God, and I'm not talking about like everything feels good. I'm talking about that deep, solemn place where you feel at home, where everything is okay and you know that God has you, that kind of peace. That cannot be produced by the enemy, just period, because he doesn't have it. So you can't, in the spiritual world, you cannot give what you do not have. So only God can provide this peace, or only the Spirit of God can provide the peace of God. And so if you're feeling the peace of God in situations, then it's the Lord. Because the peace of God is actually his presence being shown in your life. And I can tell you, there's been moments where I've been in spaces where things have gone on in worship spots, and it felt very uncomfortable to me. It was new to me. Things were happening. I was like, what is going on here? I've never seen this before. And I just stopped and I closed my eyes in this room full of people. And I said, God, is this you? Because I know what you feel like. Because I felt you before. And even in the midst of what felt like chaos to me, because it was, I didn't understand it. I hadn't seen it. I was able to quiet myself enough to know, yes, it is you, Lord. Because I have your peace right now. I could feel the peace of God in my life, in the very part of my life, in that moment. And a great way to do that, if you're not sure what the peace of God feels like, is to sit in quiet and go back to a time where you know without a shadow of doubt that you experienced the presence of God in your life. And take yourself back in prayer. You can even ask, God, take me back to that place. And you can sit in that place and you could know and ask what that feels like, and God will take you back to that, and you'll feel that again, almost as if you're reliving it, and you'll have that peace, and you can use that as a marker, to as an example, and then moving forward in your life, when you come into spaces where you feel like, I'm not sure, go back and ask yourself, do I feel that peace? Because if you feel that peace, again, it's the peace of God. This is what John wanted for his for those who followed Jesus, who he oversaw and he was writing to. He wanted them to know the difference between what is of God and what is not of God. And these are great ways to take with you, just simple things to work on in the dailiness of your life, these five areas. And you can just use those as markers to discern what is of God. And whether you read it, whether you watch it, whether you listen to it, whether you're studying it, this is a great way to do that, okay? All right, let's pray, and I'll send you guys, then we'll do communion together. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the writings of 1 John. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to know the difference between what is of you and what is not, because it's an invitation to walk with you, to journey with you, to listen to your voice, because you tell us, Jesus, that my sheep hear my voice. And so we want to work on that, Lord, more and more. So would you continue to speak to us? We thank you, Lord, that we are overcomers. If we have a relationship with you, that we have overcome. If we have a relationship with you, then we partner with you, Lord, and we get to draft behind you in your death and your resurrection, overcoming sin and death. And so we thank you for that. I just pray over the young people this morning, Lord, that they would continue to walk with you and they would just be able to discern what is of you, Lord. You'd give them even that gift of discernment, that you would lay it on their hearts. So as they grow up and they get older and they depart from their households and they decide what they're going to do with their life, Lord, that they would know what is of you and what is not of you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we're doing, email us at office@washingtonchurch.org or or go to our website, washingtonchurch.org.